Well, praise the Lord. Good evening. Oh, nice to see each and every one of you. You know, again, we mentioned and we had prayer to begin with. You know, the Bible said where two or three are gathered together, there I am where? I'm in the midst. We couldn't be in a better place. Why? Because we've been praying. We're believing that where we are, He's in our midst. Think about the King of the universe, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, here with us tonight. The angels of heaven walking up and down the aisles and in the pews, examining the hearts and the minds and the lives of each one of us, where we are at in our walk with Christ. We want to be ready for His coming. We will talk about, my wife mentioned, the book that breathes. You know, to me, that's just exciting just to start with, a book that breathes. You know, and naturally, if someone asked you that question, what would be your response? What book would you say? Well, I get one at the library. I've got one at home. First of all, what would your response be as a Christian? What is the greatest book that's ever been written? It's the Bible, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no second place anything when it comes to God's Word, because we need it so desperately. No other book ever written is like this book. It's different than any other book you have ever looked at or read before. And we know as we go back and we study, the Bible, when it was written in Hebrew and Aramaic and also in Greek. It was written over a 1,500-year period. Now think about it, that long a period of time to write Scripture, and yet it's so cohesive, it's so sticky together, it's all unified, it all says the same thing. There must be a reason why. No other book can do that. No other author can do that. It's something that is unique that God has given to us, and I'm thankful. But there are some today who doubt this book. Have you ever met someone who's doubted the Bible? They say, well, I just don't believe the Bible because I... We'll look at that a little bit later on. You've a lot of the doubting Thomases out there, but we'll look at that a little bit more because you realize the enemy likes that, to put doubt in the Word of God. We need faith in the Word of God. It takes faith, doesn't it? And the Bible says every man is given what? A measure of faith. So we're without excuse. God's given us a measure of faith so that we may understand wisdom and knowledge of the Scripture, which the Holy Spirit certainly will help us on. You know, we've got proof. You know, if you look at the Word of God and those who are doubting, there are archaeological studies, discoveries, as you well know, and in your little book, the book that breathes on there, will tell you. You've got the Moabite stone, you've got the Dead Sea Scrolls, you've got the Rosetta Stones. These are things that have been discovered that prove the Bible to be real, to be truth. Isn't that wonderful? Don't have to guess and think, well, I think. When you talk about the Word of God, we can say, I know. I know based upon the Holy Spirit, the power that He's given to each and every one of us to understand Scripture. I think it's beautiful because, first of all, we need to understand, when you understand the Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's because it's spiritual. And some people say, I can't understand it. Why? Because, what is it, 1 Corinthians says, spiritual things are what? Spiritually discerned. So you have to have the spiritual mind, ask God through the Holy Spirit to come in, and then say, I need some help. And I know that every one of us do that before we study this beautiful, blessed book, don't we? We ask for help because we are not capable to understand these things without the aid of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've thought about this book that breathes today, as my wife mentioned a while ago. And if something is breathing, what does that mean? Oh, that's a good response. It means it is alive. If you're breathing, you're alive. And so with this book that's breathing, then there's something that's going on. There's some action. There's something going on when you read the book that brings life to each and every one of us. And if you're like me, I need that life. I want that life. I tell you, the Bible. There's thousands of references, you know, in the Bible that declare that it's inspired. Right? When you read it, you realize immediately when you open the blessed pages of this book that it's beyond human. It's beyond mankind. It's inspired by God. It has to be the way it all fits together. It's like a big puzzle. There's not one piece that's missing. It's not one piece out of place. It's all perfect. And some people will argue with that fact, but you know, I just say get in the Word and study just a little bit more. If you'll just do that, you'll see how it comes together. You trust God. You know, as we study Scripture, what do you find? You find the rise and the fall of world empires, don't you? You find exactly, so as you study the book of Daniel and so on and so forth in Revelation, you find that prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Prophesied before time, when you look at Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, pagan Rome, papal Rome, and you look down the stream of time and you look at these things, how they all came together exactly the way God said that they would when God said that they would. That's amazing. That can't be an accident. There's inspiration that there is there for us. So it traces like no other book the history of mankind. And I'm thankful for that. It also, I notice as I read in here, it also records defeats. You know, as nations or as individuals, sometimes they were defeated. But also it records victories. And then when one was defeated, it gave a reason why that they were defeated. They may have taken their eyes off of Jesus. They may have, the word was getting, don't go here. And they say, well, we'll go ahead and go anyway. You know, so those things are for our admonition, and we thank God for that. It answers to me tonight, it answers the greatest question that can ever be asked of us today. You think about that, man. And it says, and I offer this to you, the Holy Spirit says, deliverance from sin. Think about it. It answers the greatest question is how can I be delivered from the enemy and from sin? Well, you hear it all the time. But you know, I believe this, that sin is a transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. And that's what it's all about. And for those who say, well, we don't have to worry about keeping and doing everything, we have a little issue with that. Because the issue is what? Sin. Sin is the issue. And we have to look at the biblical definition of what sin is. And this is the only book that gives that. And so I thank God for that. I find in this book, the central theme is Jesus. We talked a little bit about that last night. The central theme is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it's also that the central message, we could say, is a message of love that God has for each one of us. It's hard for some of us sometimes to imagine that God loves all of us the same. Have you thought about it? And some of us say, well, God couldn't possibly love this fellow over here. My, my, he's up to no good. He's been doing too many things. He loves us all the same. How wonderful that is. And not mistake, we're all sinners in need of what? Of a Savior. Again, the Bible tells us quickly that we are sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How beautiful the book tonight. Treasure the book. You know, don't sit on the book. Don't put books on top of the book. Are you still with me? You know, don't carry books. You know, put the Bible on the top. I see people misuse the book. I see TV preachers getting on the air and they're slapping this Bible around like it's a fan. Is somebody with me? Have you ever seen it? They'll flap and they'll throw it and they'll toss it around like this. This is holy. This is from heaven. This book here needs to be treated with reverence and respect and love because it's God speaking to you and speaking to me and my heart. I'm thankful for that. What is this book that really, that breathes here? Where did it come from? Those are things we'll be asking, you know, asking the question and answering from the Word of God tonight. So what is the origin of the book? Oh, it's the most simple passage of Scripture that we read it all the time. Anybody ever get tired of reading the same passage? Well, I'm glad I didn't see any hands. No, we never get tired, right? Because there's always something there that we can grasp. It's always good. It makes our heart warm inside when someone gives a passage of Scripture and you know it by heart, but you just like, oh, man, that's good. Yeah, you might have heard it 100 times. It's still good, isn't it? Passage of Scripture certainly tells us 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter what? 1:21. The Bible said, notice that we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about prophecy. It says what? That for prophecy came not what? Yeah. By whom? By the will of man. So what does it tell us quickly? Man had nothing to... That makes me happy right there. Man had nothing to do with this. Anytime man touches anything, we are in trouble and big time. Are you with me? Don't care how smart, how good, we're still in trouble if we're relying on man for what this book can produce for us. We're in trouble. But notice, the Bible is just so clear on that. Prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but by what? But holy men of God spoke as they were, moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, some of us need to be moved by what? By the Holy Ghost. Not sitting on a pew and just growing old and stale, but right getting up and being moved by the Holy Spirit of the living God, set on fire for Jesus, that our feet sometime want to move just a little bit. Now, maybe some of you don't feel like that, but I'll stomp my feet sometime. I might jump a little bit here because I sense the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we should as we read the Word of God. I'm not talking about swinging from a chandelier, but sometime I almost feel like it. Just let me alone with it, all right? You may not, but I do, because the Word of God is good. Ooh, Jesus said, taste and see if he's not. Taste and see if he's not good. And so it is good, but we have to taste it first. And if we're like the physical food, we taste it and it's good. I'm saying, mama, how about some more? Somebody's not with me. All right, just keep reading. I thought that was so interesting when it said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you've been moved by the Holy Spirit? I'm talking about moved into action. You got those spiritual goosebumps that we've talked about here, that you were moved. You couldn't sit still. You couldn't be quiet. You had to tell somebody. You had to talk to Jesus about it. You had to talk to your companion about it. You had to talk to your neighbor about it. They didn't want to hear it, but you talked to them anyway. You couldn't help it. You had to let it out. You thought you were going to burst, right? Oh. But holy men moved when they're moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, these were men that God could trust. It wasn't just anybody that God chose, right, to pen the words. The Bible said they were holy men. They were men that God could trust. The God looked inside their heart. He looked inside their mind. He knew them better than they knew themselves. They thought they might be weak and vacillating, and maybe they were at times, but God saw what he needed to see in them. And he chose them. He trusted in them. And he tested them, and he tried them. Very interesting. When I read that passage is going over today, it reminded me, if I can just go back, well, some of you won't know, but I'm going to go back about 40 years on you. Hello? Mama says she has no idea. Well, she'll have to wait too, won't she? But sometime we think as parents, a lot of times our children never listen. They never did listen. We wish they had listened as they're grown maybe and out of the house. But we think they're not listening, but I guarantee you they're listening, you see. And because I can remember today, and I hadn't thought about it, and as far as I know, I never had went over the words, but I remember my dad. He's been dead a little 40 years. But I remember a song that he used to sing all the time, because I thought about these holy men of God as they were moved and tested and tried. And I remember that song that he used to sing. I had an uncle sing it too. I'm not even sure what the title of it is, and it doesn't really matter. But it goes something like this. So I sat down at the desk today, and I started. As far as I know, I hadn't been over it, and my mind's not that good, I tell you. But I think the Holy Spirit brought it to my mind. An old song, some of you might remember. It starts out, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wander. Come on, church. Somebody know it? Why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. Because what? We'll understand it better by and by. We'll understand it. But did you notice in there, why is it, the man's asking here, wrote song, we're tested and we're tried. Holy men of God, as each of us, we're tested and we're what? And we're tried to see what we're made out of for the work that he wants to assign to us. We can't be flammable material. That's hell material. Somebody, is that too strong? I have a tendency sometimes. That's the way I am. Some people say, I wish you wouldn't say what you say. Well, I can't help it. We have to think these things over. We need the robe of righteousness, don't we? Christ's robe of righteousness, a fireproof garment, the hour that we live. But farther along, we'll understand it. Tests and trials are going to come because God's got a special work for each one of you to do. As we read the Word of God, it becomes alive to us, and we can know what He's talking and what He's telling us that He'd have us to do. Farther along, well, we're tempted and tried. I thought, how interesting that is. God, we know as we read the Word of God, He committed the preparation of this book, His divinely inspired Word, to finite man, didn't He? The angels could have done it, right? God could have done all this, but He committed the writings of this book to mankind. Knowing us as He knows us, boy, I mean, there's a lot of things even in this life, just knowing human beings, that I wouldn't even let somebody do. So you're not with me. Just as you, we don't really know that we think, well, because of their habits or whatever, oh, we're not going to let them do that. Well, God knows us really well, and He knows what we're up to. He knows we've all sinned and come short. But yet, in His infinite wisdom, He saw fit. He said to man is going to pen these beautiful words. And they penned them, and they were arranged in, we call them books of the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. And I look at this book and I say, man, what a wonderful guideline. Ooh, what a beautiful set of blueprints. You know, been in construction for 18 full years, and I've never quit, basically, of the years because of building church or building church school and, you know, doing a lot of different things all the time. I've kind of had my hands in it. I'm always sawing and doing something. And I keep thinking about, we get used to blueprints. And when you get a set of blueprints, you're required to go by those blueprints. And so God has given us blueprints here. And if we go by the blueprints, it's going to be built properly. It's going to be correct. If we go by the blueprints, we know here we'll be correct. You've heard it over and over, but that's the truth. This is what we need today. This is the truth. Old and New Testament. If it's studied and if it's obeyed. Did you notice that we have a lot of people who say, I study, I know. A lot of people study just to argue. A lot of people study just because I can talk to my friend about it. Not to really learn what truth is. Until we really want to know what truth is, until we are a learner in the school of Christ, it will not do us any good to sit down and read the book for argument's sake. Think it over. Think it deep. The Holy Spirit will inspire us and teach us when we sit and say, Lord, I want to know what truth is. There's no one in the world that has ever been shunned by the Holy Spirit when you said, I want to know what truth is. See, the neighbors and the friends and people all around here, we think, even though we say, well, we're happy where we're at, we should all still be praying, Lord, if there's more truth, we know there is, I want to know what it is. Lord, if I'm missing something, I want to know what it is. I want that to make sense to you. We could be missing something because we're so, you know, stuffy sometime about we know, and this is where mama went, and this is what daddy did, and what grandma and grandpa did, and that's why I'm going to do it. I'd rather you come to the point to say, this is what Jesus taught, this is what Jesus lived, this is what Jesus wants me to do. You can be safe that way, and I can be safe that way. Grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and all the others, you know, God loves them too, and He's going to take care of the issues. You don't have to worry about that, but you're not them, and I'm not them. God's looking at us as individuals, praise God. What a book. Just a word of caution we talk about as we look at the book here tonight that breathes. We must be careful about our judgments, our finite judgment. Sometimes we think it's necessary to examine the Scripture. And as we examine the Scriptures and we begin to read a little bit, we decide sometime what is inspired and what's not inspired. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I know it's there, I don't think that's inspired? Well, I just say, well, who do we think we are? Think about it with me. If we realize, and we'll read more about all Scripture, that we realize that God inspired, He equipped, He impressed men to write down. As the Holy Spirit spoke to them, they wrote the words down. Who are we to say, well, this is inspired and this is not? I just, in simple faith, take it as all inspired. How about you? This is a safe road. It's all inspired because we realize as we read the book, that's what the book said. We have to have faith, yes. Exercise, absolutely. So we have to be very careful that we don't try to outthink God. We can't do that. Because if we think this is inspired and we think this is not inspired, it's possible that we think we know more than God. Does that make sense? In other words, God didn't know how to work this thing out, so I know better than He knows. Surely none of us would do that. Surely none of us would think that we know more than God and we have a better way or a better plan, but you do talk to people like that along the way. You know, we thank God for the Holy Spirit. How do we read this book? Is there, well, some people say, well, we study. How do we just read the book right here that breathes? What is a simple way if you're talking to someone to say, they'll say, well, I don't know where to begin. Have you ever talked to someone who says, I'd like to know more about Jesus. I don't even know where to begin. You know what? I love to meet people like that. I don't know about you. I love to. Because they want to know, where do they start? See, there's potential there. They want to learn. And they'll ask you a question. You don't have to put it on them. Where do I begin? Where do I start reading? You know, just a simple little thought here tonight as we look at this, to read the Bible. I encourage you to do this and your friends. Take the Bible just as it reads. Stay with me, church. Take the Bible just as it reads, just as it is, inspired, and then believe what is written there and then simply follow the teachings. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Read it as it is. And by faith, just say, okay, that's it, because that's what the Bible says. So, but if, you know, if we're reading, for instance, many people do the book of prophecy. Let's say Revelation tonight. Let's just do that. This will help us too when we read and the book of Revelation. Sometimes we find some symbols and different things that's hard to understand. What do we do with that? We let the Bible interpret what? The Bible, beautiful, that's it. We let the Bible interpret itself. We don't have to go out here somewhere and let somebody tell us, well, I think this is what it means. The Bible will always interpret itself. Revelation is a book for the end times, and we need to be studying and reading, and certainly Daniel and Revelation together. Let's give you just how about an example? It's always good to have examples. Many you've heard, I'm sure, before, but it's just an example about this, about the symbols. Because I had a man just the other day say, well, I opened a book of Revelation, I started reading, and man, I was so confused, I didn't know what to do. Well, he hadn't been accustomed to reading the Bible, and so I'm not really going to church. But, you know, that's okay, because then they can be guided to do the right thing. Illustration, let's say, for instance, we use Revelation 13, verse 1. Does anyone remember how that starts out? Revelation 13, verse 1. You remember that? I mean, that's a heavy-duty chapter, so don't think I'm going to get in. It's not the subject for tonight, but boy, I tell you, I'd like to tie into it. Hello, church. Is somebody with me? I like Revelation. I like Revelation 13. I like to give the message that God has given His people in these last days. I'm not ashamed of it. It needs to be given. But notice just what we're doing for example here. Revelation 13, verse 1, it said, I stood on the sand of what? I said, stood on this. Who was standing on the sand of the sea? John was. What? He's standing on the sand of the sea, and he saw, just for us, he saw what coming up? Yeah, he said, I saw a beast, notice this, rise up out of the sea, and then we'll stop right there. So we'll say sea, waters, whatever it might be. So what would someone say here? I saw a beast rise out of the, rise up out of the sea. What does that mean? Well, as you turn to, we know Revelation 17, 15. What does the sea represent? You say, well, this beast was coming out of a sea. What does it mean it came up out of a sea or came out of a body of waters? Revelation 17, 15. Just as we were talking about, the Bible does what? It interprets itself. What is Revelation 17, 15? And he said to me, the waters which thou what? The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. That would be enough to tell. So what does it say? What is the waters? What does the water say here? In other words, where there's people, isn't it? It's people, multitude, and nations. So he said, I saw a beast coming from an area heavy populated with people. Okay, that makes sense. But then you'll say, yeah, but this beast. I don't understand the beast. So as an example, again, certainly we can go to the book of Daniel. It's beautiful to be able to go there. Daniel 7, verse 17 says, Daniel 7, verse 17 simply says this, these great beasts which are four, I'm just going to go this far, are four kingdoms upon the earth. Ah, so the beast then is what? Simple here, is a would be a kingdom, number one, wouldn't it? And we're there already in Daniel 7, verse 23. Notice how much clearer it gets. It says, the fourth beast shall be the what? Fourth kingdom upon the earth. So the beast then represents a power, a kingdom, a nation, doesn't it? So he said, I saw a kingdom, a power, a nation rising up in a heavy populated area. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? So you see how it is when we read the other part of the Bible, we take it literally for what it says, unless there's symbols or different things that are used, and then we let the Bible straighten us out so that we know what we're talking about. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. I'm sure you get the point. Praise the Lord for that. You know, again, there'll be many who will hear and see that have never heard this before. Remember when you're talking to people and doing meetings, whatever, they're always first-timers, and praise God for that. Man, that's what we're looking. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Fill this place up with first-timers. Let it just flow over. For some of the members of this church would have to get up and stand up and let them sit down. Wouldn't that be nice? Anybody willing to stand and let them sit? Absolutely you are. I know you are. Because you've been praying. You've been working. And we're going to continue to do it because we believe that God's going to bless. There's a reason. Because we're looking at this book, and this book is, to me, is breathing right now. I'm sensing it's breathing. It's talking to us. We need that in our life. Many prayers, many tears over the years have been for the saints who have been crying out, oh God, I can't understand this book, and I want to understand it. Please open the Scriptures to me that you may become real to me. Scriptures can be real to me, that I can be what I should be. Think about how long has it been since you've been on your knees? How long has it been since I've been on my knees and asking God to help me to understand more of your Word? No matter how deep you study, no matter how far you go in the Word of God, you're still only scratching the surface. The more I study and the more I try to learn by the grace of God, the more ignorant I become. I don't know about you. I don't mind saying that. That means there's a lot more I don't know. The more I behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, right? The one that I'm to behold and to become like, the more I see Him, the more I see all the problems in my own life and that I really need my Savior. I don't feel puffed up and prideful. Well, you do this, you get to do this right here. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. We're all in that same boat. We don't look down our nose at anything or anybody. The book doesn't do that. Jesus behind this book doesn't do that. In fact, He said, I left the 99 and I went out to search for that one that was missing. How long has it been since we went out to search for that one that was missing? That one son or daughter, that one church member that said, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. And you said, well, that's all right, go your way. Oh, no. Make yourself available. They may not want you right then, but let them know you're available. You're willing to help them. If they ever need help, you're going to be there for them. Because it's not about condemning and what all they've done. It's about winning them back to Christ. And all that can be taken care of as you get down and get that relationship and study the Word of God together. You know, we have to believe the importance of this book. It's important to understand the Bible writers as we're quickly moving along here. Remember, the Bible writers expressed their ideas. They did what? They expressed their ideas, notice that, and thoughts, but that were given to them by the Holy Spirit. Now that makes sense when we go on, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit gave them, you see, but they were able, under the direction of the Spirit, to write them down in a language or thoughts that we as human beings could be able to understand it. That makes sense to me. Think about if God had written this down, or the angel in we call it heavenly language, whatever that might be, or so far advanced over our heads, or used words so big we could never figure it out. God knew exactly how to reach mankind through mankind. And I find that's still our job and our mission. That's why we're here, Brother Danny. We're here to reach other people for Jesus. I figured that out a long time ago. There's no other reason for me to be here. You either. Other than to reach to work for Jesus. So important. Why did God use human beings when He knows us so well? Well, certainly human beings, men had to write down the things that they related to and things that we relate to. The earthly, so that we might understand, and eventually then the heavenly. That makes sense when someone is writing. You want them to write, use the illustrate Jesus. Whew, the words He could have used and illustrations He could have used would have blown your shoes off. Are you still with me? Could He not? But what did He do? He used simple parables. Simple teachings that what? That people around Him could relate to and understand. Man, that makes sense to me. Many, many years ago when I was young, I went to some church, a guest speaker was coming in, and we got done. He got done, and man, I thought that was pretty deep. I was scratching my head, and I'm like, whoa, you know. Man came up to me, and he said, "Wasn't that the most wonderful thing in the world?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I hardly understood a word he said." He said, "Well, I really didn't either, but it was so deep." See, sometimes we become what? Confused. Because it was so deep and big words were used and it must have been wonderful. No, I'd like someone just to say something simple that I get it. You know, my dad would say, "Don't do it anywhere else." I got that. God knew, didn't He? We wrote this book. He knew. We have to remember when we talk about the Scriptures here, we're not given to men, remember, not in a continuous chain, because some people say, "Well, this happened and this happened." They weren't given to us in a continuous chain, but they were given to us piece by piece through successive generations. God pieced them together when it was necessary and how it was necessary, as God's providence saw fit. Isn't that wonderful? God saw fit. He knew. But it wasn't just, "Oh, this follows this follows that," and so on and so forth. Not at all. And there we find that it's not always in perfect order. Not always in perfect order. Not always, listen, apparent unity. Yeah. It doesn't seem, you know, to people who are just studying a little bit. They say, "Well, there's not any unity here." But you notice, if you give you an example, how about the miracles of Christ? They're not given in the exact order that they took place. Interesting. But they were given as to the circumstances that occurred, which we realize that call for the divine revelation or a revealing of the power of Christ. When it was necessary, when it was time, God put it together. How wonderful that is. And so those who are just digging not too deep in Scripture, they dig little. They have only maybe a surface knowledge, and none of us are claiming to have, "Oh, we got all kind of knowledge." But there are surface scratchers, you know that. Surface readers, surface studiers, and so on and so forth. You realize these are the individuals many times that have these questions about the authority of Scripture. Somebody that digs into the Word of God and studying the Word of God has a relationship with Christ. You don't hear them doubting it, do you? It's those most generally that are not reading and studying very much. "Well, I read this. I don't get this right here," you know. A real studier, a real believer in Jesus Christ are not focusing on that what they call contradiction, because there is no contradictions in the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit is responsible from the beginning to the very end. God didn't leave it just in the hands of mankind, say, "Do with it what you wanted to." He inspired and He impressed. I thank God for that. Carefully just kind of consider with me for a few moments here and see if we're in agreement, all right? We want to agree as we go along, right? I don't want anybody throwing tomatoes up here or shoes or anything else. We need to agree, you know what? Because there's unity in Scripture. And why is it that we have such a hard time, even in our movement, that we just can't see eye to eye? And I realize there'd be a little different here and there. But some in major teachings in the Word of God, There's others who are teaching things so far out. Where? Why? Jesus said there's going to be some unity here before he comes. Isn't that right? Father, I pray that they'll be one as we are one. So evidently that can take place, can it? Based on the Word of God here, if we're in tune with the Spirit of the living God, rather in tune with ourselves and another group or something out here or out there. I think you know what I'm talking about. Do we agree tonight that with the Bible, so far, the Bible is written by inspired men? That's just simple. Do we agree with that? I think we can agree. That's because we read it in Scripture. We have faith in Scripture. But notice the next part. But it is not God's mode of thought and expression. Think it through for a moment. The Bible is written by what? Inspired men. We can say yes. But think about it deep as we go here. But it's not God's mode of thought or His expression. And then you say, well, wait a minute. How can that be and not be true? Well, think. It may not be on the screen. Maybe it is. Isaiah 55, 8. Isaiah 55, 8. What does the Bible say? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. So if God did it, it would be a little different and so far over our heads, wouldn't it? It's the ways. Certainly it is what? His will. Certainly it is the Holy Spirit. But remember, He's speaking to men and He's allowing men to write as they see and they feel and they understand and they're inspired to write down, which would naturally be truth, would it not? Naturally be truth because the Holy Spirit is impressing them. But not necessarily, as it were, if God would be doing it. I hope that maybe gets clear as you go by and think about it. A little manuscript that I read in actually in 24 in 1886. Notice this statement with me, if you allow me to read it. It said, "It is that of humanity." Talk about writing here. It's not God's thought or expression. It is that of humanity. God is a, notice it, God as a writer is not represented. Interesting thought. Men will say such an expression is not like God. But God has not put Himself in words, in logic or rhetoric, or on trial in the Bible. The writers of the Bible were God's penmen, not His pen. That helps us to understand it. So God knew what He was doing as He, through the Holy Spirit, impressed men to pen the words that we would be able to understand. Heaven's so much higher than us, you know that. We won't understand that till it's better by and by. But I'm thankful God, the way God did it here, it's beautiful. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, you know, the entire Bible is what? Is it inspired? That's what Scripture says. All Scripture is given by what? When you read all the time, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for what? For doctrine and for reproof and for correction. That's what the Bible says. The nature of God's Word. See, there's a nature of God's Word here. Psalms 119, 105. Notice this, Psalms 19. Thy Word is what? The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? A light unto my path. If we ever needed some light, it's now. We live in a dark world. It's a dingy world. It's a messed up world. You need light. Many years ago when I first got out of service, I worked in a coal mine. And it was about 1,000 feet straight down. That's a place you probably don't really want to work. The only one way up is the way you went down. And then when you get down, you might go 2 or 3 miles way back into there to where you're working because you're taking the coal and stuff as you go. And it's made just about like your highways and stuff, your blocks. You know, your blocks, your roads going this way and every so often then you cross cuts and so on. But there is no light of its own down there. It's like this world. You have a light on your helmet, but if you turn that light out, you will not see your finger touch your nose. There's nothing that you can see because there is no light. The devil's plan is to make this world so dark that you can't see Christ anymore. You can't see the Word of God anymore. And many times when I was down there, I'd turn my light off and think, what a miserable. Wow. But several times, you know, my heart would rejoice. I was telling my wife the other night, I said, you know, because being that far down, ooh, glory, I'm going to get excited now. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But I said, every once in a while down there, there was, you know, coal and so on. It might be 5 or 6 feet vein that we're going through there. But, you know, you have shale and different things would go. And every once in a while, a little piece of shale or something, it would fall down. And I'd look at some of that shale down there, and I'd see some of the most beautiful leaves and branches. Where do you think those things come from? Like fern leaves, some of them. Oh, somebody help me out just a little bit. It had to be at the time of what? The time of the flood, the time of Noah, that all that stuff, all buried down there. Yes, I mean, you could just see the beautiful indigenous of a leaf that's down there. Just, wow, or a limb, maybe a little of a piece of a tree, something. You'd say, ooh, I know the story is true. I know it's true. It couldn't happen any other way. Of course, the coal and everything else is proof of that. God is showing us He's real, isn't He? The Bible is real, a book that breathes. And it must breathe. When you read it, it must breathe into you the breath of life as a Christian. How desperately we need that in our hearts and in our lives. God's Word is what? It's a lamp. It's a light. I need it. Thank you, God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Let's move quickly. Notice what it says. The Bible said. See, God's Word is eternal, is it not? It's not going to pass away because Scripture said heaven and earth would do what? Will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. See, I have to believe that. I have no reason to question that. He says His word would not pass away. He tells us His words will not return void. When you're planting that seed, when you're passing out that literature, when you're praying for these meetings and so on, even though it might seem like, oh, have mercy, no, God's still in control. We have to exercise faith and say, we're going on. We're going to press this battle to the gate. Whether it be 2 or 3 or 2 or 300, it doesn't matter. We're going to go to the gate. We're going to cross that finish line by the grace of God. The Word of God is eternal. Psalms 119:11. The Bible is clear. God's Word is treasured in the heart, protects us from sin because it says the Word, what? I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you see how the Word of God treasured in the heart protects us from sin? Yes. Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, for the Word of God is what? It's quick and another translation, it says it's living. It's living. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Good. Notice it. And skip down a line or two. It is a discerner of what? Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is the Word of God. It gets down to who you are. The Word of God opens up and digs in to say, I know the intents of your heart. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. God knows our thoughts, doesn't He? And the intent of our hearts. Think about that. The Bible should be studied with prayer. We know that. Spiritual things. We talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But no man can have insight into the Word of God without the illumination and the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that. You've been taught that since you were just small, but sometimes I think we might forget. We become too smart for our own good, too big for our own britches. Sometimes we need to be taken down a notch or two. I guess you've heard that when you were growing up. We need to focus on the Word of God. Remember, no man can have insight into the Word of God without what? The illumination of the Holy Spirit. But notice this. People say we have the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells who has the Holy Spirit and who doesn't. Have you thought about like that? Oh, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 39, Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it says what? The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. Church, is that what it says? Or am I? Can't see that well, but I think that's what it says. The Holy Spirit is given to what? To those who obey. It tells me then that those who do not obey the Word of God do not have the Holy Spirit. They may have a spirit, but it may be the wrong spirit. I know that's pretty touchy to some people. But you know what? We need to let it go like it is. The Bible has made it clear. I don't need to try to dissect it. I don't need to try to find anything else because the Word is clear. The Holy Spirit is given to those who are obedient, those who obey God. And so if we're not obeying God, we don't have the real Holy Spirit. And there's only two spirits in the world, as we well know. Don't you think it's time in history that we live in that we needs to be the message needs to be straight and online and on target? No dilly-dallying around and don't say, well, some are going to get their feelings hurt. Better to get their feelings hurt now and saved in God's kingdom than end up in hell. Does that make sense? My dad more or less told me that a lot of times. Better to get a good whipping now and try to get yourself squared away. And you know what? He's right. Better to make a change and everything will be all right. Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. These practical truths here in the Word of God need to be brought into our personal lives like never before. Need to be planted there. They need to be watered there. They need to grow there. That others will know that Jesus lives in your heart and lives in my heart. We need the sword, you know. What is a sword? Sword is what? Sir, the sword, the text talk about here, it's the Word of God. So the Word of God's going to do some cutting, right? Two-edged. Any which way that it goes, it's going to rightly divide and separate, and it's going to cut out that stuff that you don't need in your life. Aren't you glad? I'm not going to give you a sword and say, come up here and cut out what needs to be cut out on me. You wouldn't give me, you wouldn't tell me that, would you? Well, here's a sword, come and cut out. You follow my thinking. No, but I trust Jesus, don't you? If there's something that needs to be cut out from our life, whatever it might be, from our eyes to our nose to our ears to our tongue, whatever it might be, let God do it. He's the best surgeon. He can cut out what needs to be with the least amount of pain, the least stitches, the least recovery time. Is somebody still with me? Yes. He can do it, and He wants to do it. We need desperately to cut out maybe some pride in our life or some selfishness. Think about that. Sinful habits, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. Lord, cut it out. You say, well, I'm not doing all the things the world is, but if you're too prideful, heaven won't be your home. It won't be my home. Pride cometh before a fall. We understand that. How much pride do we have? Well, I deserve to be in the church. I deserve to be the pastor. I deserve to be the head elder. I deserve to be the right. Do you really get? What if you get what you deserve? What if I get what I deserve? I'm in trouble. I want to make sense to you. What do we deserve? We deserve death. Wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. We've come short. This is what we deserve. But praise God for a Savior. Psalms 33, verse 6 tells us that our time is running down. Notice this, by the Word. We talk about the Word was powerful, right? It's like a sword, man. But notice, just by the Word, how powerful of the Lord were the heavens made. And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. How were the heavens made? Everything put up in the heavens by His Word. There's power in the Word of God right here. This is powerful. This can raise the dead. This can heal the sick. This can make you new. And you know you need to be new, and I need to be new each and every day. This can transform you. Can make you so new in Jesus Christ. You'll think you've just been born. That's what it's called. We need to be born again. That's every day of our life, my brothers and sisters. Let's not get weary in well-doing. Let's not just get satisfied because we got this program at the church and that program and another program over here. Oh, man, we're doing well. Not saying anything's wrong with those things, but I think we do some self-examination. How are we? How is our relationship with Christ? What is this book doing when I read the truth of God's pages? Is it transforming me into His image? Is it changing me every day? If it's not, there's something wrong. Because this book is breathing. It's giving you oxygen when you need it. Some of us have been on that. We understand it. And some of us don't want oxygen sometime. I remember when I was in the hospital, they tried to put a whole face mask on me, and I took it off. Man, I don't want that. Give me something. The nurses love all people like me. Let's use that as an illustration in the world, right? We need fresh oxygen, fresh Word of God. But sometime, we even friends try to help to put it, give it to you, but you don't want it. You throw it out. But we need that change. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts. I take help but love that. The book that breathes is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it says that we are to, John 5:39, we are to search the Scriptures, for they are those who what? Think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So often you've read these passages, but it begs you, it pleads with you, it pleads with me. Search, Kenny, search the Scriptures. You think you have eternal life. But notice, eternal life, they are those things that testify of me. You have no eternal life without Jesus. You have no heaven without Jesus. There's no way to get to heaven without Jesus. Because we're all under the death penalty. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Let's keep that in our mind every day. That's why we say, well, I should get this, I should have. No, think about it. Unless we have Jesus in our corner, my brothers and sisters, heaven will never be our home. When my name comes up in the judgment, I'm not going to get up there and argue and fuss because the devil made me do it. Somebody not. We're not going to get up there and say, well, the pastor wasn't what he should have been. That's how come I'm not. My brother and sister, they did it. Well, this is what happened to me when I was growing up. There'll be none of that. When my name comes up in the judgment, if I'm a child of God, here Jesus stands. He stands before the Father. The Father doesn't see me. He doesn't ever see me. I'm a sinner. Unless Jesus accepts me, the Father can't accept me. Does that make sense? And when your name comes up, it's just a simple thing. Jesus says as He holds up those nail-scarred hands, bless His heart, Father, Father, my blood. He may say your name. He may say, Kenny's my child. Jim is my child. Sally's my child. That's one of my children. Remember, He said, when I prayed, you know, when I was down here on this earth, that they would be with me where I'm at. Jesus prayed, He's down here, for us, that we could be with Him. That's how much He wants you there in heaven. Don't miss it. Don't let a boy, a girl, a mom and dad, a boyfriend or whatever, you know what I'm talking about, anything take you away from Jesus. Those things will soon pass away. You think when you're young you're going to live forever. You're not. If Jesus comes, we're all going to pass. If it doesn't come, we're going to pass away. But I believe He's going to come, and He's going to come quickly. We need to make that decision that we want to be with Him. The book is breathing, and it's coming into us fresh life, fresh wisdom, fresh knowledge. The Word of God, I tell you right now, this right here, this right here is a leaf from the tree of life. Are you with me, children? You're God's children. This is a leaf from the tree of life. Remember, the tree of life was in the garden. You remember that? As long as they ate, what was it? It was for the healing of the nations. This is a leaf that God's given us down here for the healing of my heart and my life and all the world nation. The trouble that's going on in the world. Thank you, Lord, for that. Because John 7:17, just a few minutes left, says here, God's word should be used to examine all doctrine. Remember, if any man will do, John 7:17, will do the what? Any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. There's no excuse for us not to know what truth is. Not because I say so or something, because God says so in His Word. Did we read that one? Did we read it properly? If you want to know what God's will is for you, Will he reveal that to you? If you want to know what truth is, will he reveal that to you? Yes, he will. He wants to. He'll move heaven and earth to reach somebody that says, I want to know you, God. He'll move heaven and earth. He'll send somebody. We need to be on our knees. We need to be praying for our neighbors and neighbors around here, around the church, you know, at home, wherever it might be. You're going to know whether the doctrine is of the Father, the ones that sent him. Jesus said, my words are perfectly in harmony with my Father. They're in perfect harmony with Old Testament Scripture and certainly new ones. He said, I'm not preaching any kind of a new doctrine, new theology. I'm presenting old truths, resurrecting them back up. Search and look. I'm encouraging tonight the book that breathes. Search and look. There's power in the Word of God when it's received in your heart and in your life. I don't have time to go through 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Hebrews 11:3 talks about the power of God's Word. 1 Peter 2:23, being born again by corruptible seed, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm telling you, I like that. We're standing on something tonight. We have something tonight. The book that breathes, that's for eternity. It's never going to change. Men are preaching and teaching that it changes with time. And man, wake up. Don't you know it's 2000-something? Well, they need to wake up. God's Word doesn't change. He's saying it's yesterday, today, and forever. And every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The force of this book is tremendous. Changes hearts and lives and people. And we want to make sure by the grace of God that one day, as we close here tonight, I love the passage, Revelation 3. I'm skipping all the way down to the last one, Revelation 3, 4. It may be on there. It may not be. Because I'm thinking about the book that breathes. I'm thinking about Jesus coming. I'm thinking about Him coming to take His own with Him. And I love this because he said, and they shall walk with me in white. Whew, for they are worthy. We look at ourselves, we are not worthy of anything, are we? But because of Jesus, God looks at us and said, they're worthy of what my Son did, what he gave, his life. Jesus says one day soon we're going to be able to walk with Him in white because we're worthy. We're worthy because of the blood of the Lamb. My brothers and sisters, I encourage you to stay in the book that breathes. It'll breathe new life, new hope, new encouragement. When you may be down, maybe slowing down, maybe almost run down, but you just open that book, you begin to read what the Bible says, and it'll spring new heart, new life into you again. This is what God is looking for these last days before He comes. Who's going to stand? Who will be? Who will preach? Who will teach? Who will take this message to the world? Who loves me, He said, with all their heart? How many have come to the point, don't raise your hands, that they had rather die than commit a known sin? Think about it. Jesus did. He'd rather die, hang on the cross, do something that's wrong. We have to come to that point that we had rather die than commit a willful sin. God have mercy on us. The book that breathes gives us that power through Jesus Christ. Tomorrow night, I don't want you to forget, we're going to talk about agent of change. Agent of change. You don't want to miss it. Even though you say, well, I think I know what, you still don't want to miss it. There's an agent of change that's waiting for us to give permission to come in and to do something very special for His last day people.